Welcome back to the Let's Be Friends podcast. With us today is a new friend, Dr. Ben Rall. He is the owner of Achieve Wellness Clinic, a holistic chiropractic care center in Central Florida. Dr. Ben believes your body was designed to heal, and he is committed to educating and empowering individuals on how to apply a vitalistic model of healthcare to their lives and live well. He is also the official chiropractor for Team USA Wrestling, Weightlifting, and Judo at the 2012 London Olympics, and he hosts the Design to Heal podcast. Welcome to the show, Dr. Ben.
Hey, thank you for having me. Excited to be here. Meet your people.
Yeah, I'm excited for you to be here and to become friends with all of us on Let's Be Friends and to share all of your knowledge and wisdom that you have on how the body is truly created to design to heal itself. So can you explain a little bit to our listeners how you got interested in working in the medical field and where your beliefs came from that our body is designed to heal?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's funny, after I've done this for about 20 years, I've been in chiropractic, been in practice. And so you sometimes just forget there was a beginning. You forget when it all began. So I was training for you mentioned it in the bio there. I was training for the 96 Olympics. I grew up just kind of a traditional kid. I'm from the Midwest. I'm from South Dakota. And when I was a boxer. And so I was training for the 96 Olympics and I was in Colorado Springs and I got sick and I didn't really understand, you know, holistic healing. I didn't really understand healing at all. I would say I just grew up. When you got sick, you went to the doctor, you did what they say. So I went to the doctor and they scoped me. They put they scoped me up. And I remember when I woke up, yeah, I don't know. I still
that doesn't sound fun. Yeah.
I still haven't learned the best way to say that yet. Like, it's like, sorry if you're eating breakfast or you're having a snack. And I remember when I woke up from anesthesia and the doctor was standing over me and he had these pictures that he was showing me. And it was just all these, they just looked like black lesions all throughout my digestive system. And there was just so many, he just stopped counting. And it was just, they were just all over the place. And I said, well, what do I do? And he said, well, you need to take these medications. And I said, you know, for how long? He said, forever. And, you know, again, at the time I didn't know. I mean, I know you share some of your journey. It's somewhat similar. Yeah. You're just following orders.
Yeah, exactly.
So I took the medications. They shut down my digestive system. I went from 165 pounds to 245 pounds. If you know much about boxing,
wow,
there's weight classes. And so I was not a super heavyweight. I was a light. I was a
wow, that changes the game, literally.
Yeah. So they're like, you know, we love you, but you're out of here. And so I had left, you know, the hometown hero. I came back sick, fat, and depressed, excuse my language. And I didn't know what to do. And so time went by about 3.5 years. I'm taking these drugs every single day. I'm getting worse. Nothing's helping. The classic scenario. I'd go in, I'd get my scans redone. The lesions were either getting worse or staying the same. I'm having more side effects. And then somebody said, you should go to a chiropractor. And I kind of was like, you hear it oftentimes, like, you know, what are they going to do? And that kind of a thing. And so I went there and it changed my life. The first person that really sat me down and explained that my body was designed to heal, asked me these questions that were, or made these statements that just was the first time I had thought about that. You know, he was like, I remember him saying, you know, Ben, your body knew how to digest food for the first 19 years of its life. It's not like it just forgot, right? Like something's interfering with that. In my case, I had pressure in the middle of my spine. I didn't have any pain there, but there was pressure disrupting the function of my digestion. This isn't how it works for everybody, but this is what happened to me. Throughout that process of getting chiropractic care, I got off the medications that I've been on every single day for 3.5 years. I got off them in a week. I lost 67 pounds in 4 months. It changed my life. You know, Kara, it's interesting because we had you on our podcast and actually launched today our episode. I'm already getting great feedback. People, you know, it was weird is people didn't really ask what was wrong with me when I was sick and on drugs and overweight. But when I started losing all this weight, they were like, are you okay? I'm like, where have you been for the past 3.5 years? Like,
right.
This is actually me getting well, right? Getting to the cause of the problem. And so through that process, I decided that I wanted to be a chiropractor. Matter of fact, one of the drugs I was on is no longer on the market. They killed 33,000 people a year. So I may not even be here to, you know, tell the story. So when you go through something like that or something like you have, it does become somewhat of a mission, you know, or I would even say sometimes I feel obligated just to share this with people. It changed my life. I believe it would change yours. So, but more specifically, just to finish the story. So I'm in chiropractic school and what happens there, is now dating myself, it was years ago, but in 2000, we did live, you know, we had cadavers, but they were real cadavers, people that had donated their bodies to science. And so you walk in and I mean, it's just like you would imagine. I mean, there's a dead body there and we would start And you just go through every system and, you know, every body system. It takes about a year and a half. And I remember when we opened up the body the first time, like, you know, the chest, and I saw God's design, I really had one of those come to Jesus moments. I get goosebumps every time I talk about it. I just saw the intricacy. And I just thought to myself, Kara, I just was like, that my job as a quote doctor, you know, doctor really means teacher, is to help people know that our job isn't to figure this thing out. Our job is to honor it, work with it, remove interferences. It already knows what to do. Two cells came together. 9 months later, you have a baby. No doctor, you know, built those eyes or those livers or those kidneys. We have about 100 trillion cells in our body. All of them right now knowing what to do. Right? And that's the power of God. And so when I had that light bulb go off in my head, I was like, everybody needs to know about this. Right. And so that's really been my passion for the last, you know, 20 plus years.
Wow. That's an amazing testimony. And I had just chills like throughout you sharing that, even just like hearing about you getting on this medicine early on and then it making you more sick. Like it reminded me of what I went through. And like you said, I just was a guest on your podcast, Designed to Heal, which dropped today. Everybody go over to take a listen. Your podcast is amazing. I love the stuff that you're talking about on there. And we're going to go into some of that later. But I gained 80 pounds when I was medicated over 8 years. Just every year I noticed that I would just build up this weight from the medicine that was on. And I just continued to get more sick, just like you, more side effects. I didn't get better. And interestingly enough, when I was getting off my pills in 2019 into 2020, I went to a chiropractor for the first time. Yeah. And this was right as I'm getting off my pills and stuff. And so when I went in, you know, you did the x-rays, they did all the measurements and stuff. And, I signed up for like the full treatment. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to invest. I don't care. I'm putting $5,000 into this. Let's do it. Let's go. I'm a mess. I had been diagnosed with, arthritis when I was 37 in my lower back. My L4 was messed up. You know, 37 years old, I'm taking 20 pills a day. One of them was a muscle relaxer to sleep at night because that's what they gave me at the doctor, was muscle relaxer for arthritis. Well, I went to the chiropractor as I'm getting off my pills, waking up, and I ended up, I don't have any problems with my back anymore. Like my arthritis is gone. I ended up losing about 70 pounds getting off these pills. And I remember the chiropractor telling me at the end doing my measurements that he's like, wow, we've taken about 20 pounds of weight pressure off your neck or off your head. And I was like, wow. And so something happened when I got straightened out through the chiropractic that helped. And then I woke up. Like, you know what? I think there's something really key to getting your body in alignment. And I'm sure, you know, as a chiropractor, you really believe this too. And so when you get that beautiful design that God created, like I love how you put it, is these two cells come together and it that creates life and grows the eyes and the organs and your aha moment when you saw inside the body and you're like, God created us perfectly. This is the most amazing design. Like we can breathe in this body. We're living in this body. We're existing. Why would we need Rockefeller's medicine regime? So when when we were chatting during our interview together, I brought up Rockefeller medicine a little bit and you got excited and I feel like we could chat a little bit about that's kind of so you chiropractics and is would have been considered quackery, right? Rockefeller. Let's talk a little bit about what's happened with the medical field and what your thoughts are on the petroleum-based medical regime versus the practice that you do.
So thank you. I love it. A couple things before we jump there. I want to talk about your experience with the chiropractor because I think it's really important. When the chiropractor was referencing, you know, the weight, the pressure that they've taken off of your, you know, head and shoulders, for example, when our posture, a classic one is where the head is really far forward. So just as we're sitting here, if you imagine maybe if you were holding like a stick with a bowling ball on the end of it, if you started to lean that stick forward, the bowling ball feels heavier. It's the same weight. I mean, it's still 10 pounds or whatever, but it feels heavier because it's gravity's pulling it down more. So a similar thing happens with our posture. So the reason I even am talking about this, Kara, is a lot of people probably listen to you or part of what they love is, you know, the journey that you went on in your own mental health. And just like it was a surprise for me that I got relief through my digestive issues through chiropractic, and this isn't a chiropractic commercial, but this is for people that are looking for help, right?
Exactly.
No, people don't realize that just getting my head back over my shoulders, that allows my spinal fluid to flow and the blood flow to go around my brain. Like that can be a game changer for people, right? It's awesome to eat well. It's awesome to have good therapy. It's, you know, of course, right? But sometimes people just didn't know that was a thing. Or like you said, they're on a medication for arthritis or for back pain, and that's messing up their physiology. And so it really is, I guess I'm biased, right? But it really is. Matter of fact, one of my most amazing testimonies of a patient was this. And if I just have a couple of minutes, if that's okay, Kara, I want to share this story.
Share.
So I had this mother, this woman I was taking care of, and her sister had recently passed away from stage 4 cancer. And the wish of this woman on her deathbed was, she said, you need to go see Dr. Ben. And that was weird, but she knew her sister wasn't well and she needed help, right? She was on like 13 medications every single day. She would go home, she'd drop her kids off of school, she'd go home and she'd lay her head in ice and she'd lay there all day long until she'd go pick her kids up. She had no life. She had 3 kids. So she came to the office just to kind of honor her sister, and she ended up having a real incredible, right? Just recovered. We started doing the things, and we'll talk more about it. But so her daughter was about 15 at the time, and her daughter came in, and the mom said, you know, she was like, the school day was off or something like that. So she was just there at the visit. And my staff was like, well, hey, let's get your daughter checked. You know, let's see what's going on with her. I'm like, oh, she's fine. No, don't worry. So anyway, we checked her out, just more wellness and preventative. So I go in there and I fill her form is filled out kind of, but it just like basically says like wellness on it. Like they didn't want to do anything. Mm-hmm. So I scanned her. One of the tests we do measures kind of nerve system. And it really showed all this pressure at the top of her neck, like these big black bars of this thermography that we measure. And I just said, hey, I don't know what's going on. Typically when I see pressure up here, it can be linked to things like anxiety or depression. Mm. And she just kind of looked at me and she was like, they just smiled. And it was like, you know, see you next week. Okay. So they come back. She ended up needing to get some care. I started taking care of her. Life goes on. A few months go by and her mom calls and asks if she can have a private meeting with me. Usually those are not like good meetings.
Yeah,
they're not usually,
I'm not usually sure.
to say thank you.
Yeah.
So I said, of course. And so we sit down and she hands me a letter and she said, we just found this cleaning my daughter's room last week. It was kind of behind her dresser and it was a suicide note.
Oh gosh.
And she said, and we brought it to her and we're like, you know, what is this? And she goes, oh my gosh, I forgot about that, mom. She goes, I wrote that that Friday. It was a Friday when I first saw her, and they were going to be going away for a basketball tournament for her brothers, but she was going to stay home. And her plan was to overdose on her mom's old medication that weekend. And she said, what happened? She said that we had that visit that day at the chiropractor. And she said, even though he didn't do anything, it was for the first time I ever thought maybe I'd have hope, right? And so I thought I would wait till Monday at least to just see if he could help. And that Monday she came in, she got her first adjustment. And she said, mom, all I can tell you is after that first adjustment, I've never had those thoughts again. Now I can't explain to you what happened, Kara. I don't know nobody understands. Some of these are just miracles, right? We just celebrate them.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. And we should always leave room for miracles. We don't have to understand it all. It's okay. Right.
Yeah.
But I remember that. And that's because there is, and I know you talk a lot about on this show, but it's so important. When we lose hope, it's over, right? So if you're listening to this and you just feel like, man, I've tried this, I've tried that, I'm at my wit's end. I'm not even talking about chiropractic. I just mean you need to understand hope, true hope, right? Well, this girl, after I explained that to her, they told me she has struggled with some mental health challenges and they had put her on Seroquel, okay, at one point in her life.
Yeah,
and they told me when they put her on Seroquel, like the first day, she literally got on the ground and was slithering like a snake in their living room when she was like 13 years old. And it freaked them out. They were like, oh, we don't know. Like, that's crazy. We're not doing that. But we didn't know what else
to do.
And this is like a good old like middle class family, right?
Yeah.
Like ran a restaurant. Like they were like, what is happening? And so I say that to you because what that is Rockefeller medicine, right? That is this, you know, the Flexner report is part of that. And chiropractic, we as chiropractors, actually a lot of people don't know this, but yes, we were certainly, I mean, we're still often considered quacks, which is fine. Like, it, you know, it's considered
put
the source.
Put me in the quack category.
Exactly.
I'd rather be there than the normal one.
If that is, exactly. It's like, I wear it as a badge of honor. I'm like, you know, or people often ask me, they're like, you know, do you, yeah, I know you're not a real doctor. I'm like, thank God, whatever you want to call that. Like, you mean the people that prescribe the pills that kill hundreds of thousands?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not really, I don't want to be a part of that club. However, when we actually sued, chiropractic sued the American Medical Association and for exactly what you're talking about. And we won. And they had to actually issue a public apology because they had actually created a group to act. They were trying to destroy chiropractic. They were trying to remove us as a profession. They chiropractors have gone to jail. They threw us in jail. They burned down our clinics. They, you know, all of these things. And the only reason it has survived is because of results, right? The only reason is because people get well. Not, and we need a lot of different disciplines, but I mean, in our space, it wouldn't survive just because, I mean, the negative, you know, press out there has been so much. And so, but that does have a root back to this idea of, or not idea, but this reality of Rockefeller medicine. I want to talk about this for your listeners, because in order, it's like with our sin sometimes, like if we don't realize the weight of sin, if we don't understand the implications of that, if we don't understand how God sees that and the wages of sin, then we will think we don't need a savior. Like we'll think like, I'm good. You know, I'm a good guy. I'm a nice person. I'm a nice girl. I didn't mean to, but the Bible and the Lord is very clear on what happened. I mean, it literally is what he went to the cross for. And so when people sometimes don't like to talk about medicine in a negative way, they feel like you're just bashing medicine. And I'm like, listen, you have to know how bad it is, because right now it's so wrapped up in like waterfalls and marble floors and BMWs and white coats. And it's like, it seems fancy, but it's very barbaric. Chemical, it's, I mean, especially in mental health, it's chemical lobotomies. I mean, you have to understand how bad it is, or you will, the propaganda around it will make you think, oh, you know, it's not that big of a deal. Everybody does it. What are you going to do? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you have to wake up. And so the roots of medicine are very, I mean, I'm comfortable using the word demonic, but
yeah.
You know,
like, oh, you can say that here. Yeah.
I mean,
it is.
Yeah. And it even tells us that the evil one will be dressed up like a person of light.
Yeah. Lucifer, right? Comes as an angel of light. Yeah. Yeah.
This is not so we can't. And listen, if you're listening to this and your uncle's a pharmacist or your dad's a doctor or whatever, like I don't, this is not about the people that are in that. Okay. Like, right. I want to make that very clear. I mean, there might be some. I mean, they're in any profession. I don't mean that, right? I just mean, don't be offended when they say like it's demonic. The system is. I mean, there's things like this that are happening that people, good people, bad system. However, once you wake up to this, you have a responsibility. You can't just keep going along with it. And this is where I find most people get stuck, right? They kind of wake up a little bit and they go, you know, I don't really want to be on these pills. I don't know who to trust, this kind of thing. And especially in the body of believers, I recently wrote a book. You'll get a kick out of this, Kara. And it's getting published, but it's not. Well, you're in the process. You know what this is like,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So, yeah. Like the 20-year process of writing a book.
Oh my gosh. So the people that are publishing it are, it's a faith-based group, and I submitted the manuscript and everything has been signed and everything. And then, so after they had it for a while and they sent me back some notes and they were like, so it sounds like you have like, you don't really like the medical system. You don't really like, you know, drugs. And I'm like, yeah, that's I'm glad
good,
that came
message.
Across.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Good.
And then she goes, it sounds like you want people to have more faith in God, you know, than like pills. I was like, yep. Point number two. Awesome. And she's like, well, what if somebody reads this and stops taking their drugs? I was like, that would be fantastic. Like, again, you know, we've arrived.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, you know, what if something bad happens? I said, listen, why don't you get concerned about the hundreds of thousands of people that are being killed by the drugs they're taking? The problem we have in this country is not people taking not enough drugs. It's not Ricky who stopped taking his drugs. That's not the problem. The number three cause of death in the United States of America right now is properly prescribed medications. Journal of the American Medical Association. This isn't a game. I'm not making a mountain out of a molehill. I don't have some vendetta. I'm not doing this out of spite. I'm not because I'm a chiropractor and I hate doctors. That's not what's going on here. I'm a person that loves healthcare, right? Yeah. And I hate to see believers or people just secular that just don't know, right? They're ignorant. And I don't mean that in a mean way. They're just, they haven't gotten there.
No,
right?
They don't have
and
that so, connection with God. They don't have that. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, to them, it doesn't look like, no, I'd still love to, I love having that conversation, even from a secular world. I mean, I talk about that the body's designed to heal, but the medical term for that is simply homeostasis. It's just simply this reality that, you know, if you're listening to this right now, somehow your body is existing. Your heart is beating, your eyes are seeing, your ears are hearing, hopefully, you know, your body staying 98 point something degrees. Like that's amazing right there. That's an amazing, unbelievable. Like if you could wrap your head around that, honestly, to me, it's so inspiring. It's so hopeful, right? Like I even just your journey, like having that hope, if you're listening to this and you say, man, I've struggled forever. I've had migraines forever. I've got allergies. I've got digestion. I don't care. Honestly, I don't care what you have. And what I mean by that is, it doesn't mean you're not designed to heal. Now, you might have to look at some things in your life or your relationships or your faith or your, I don't know, a lot of toxicity. There's a lot of things that go on to that, right?
Yeah.
So, but the root of this medical model, what happened was early on, I would say late 1800s, early 1900s, in that realm, you had what most healthcare was almost like pretty good. I mean, yeah. From my perspective, it was like homeopathy and it was like natural stuff, you know, and herbs and these types of things, treating the body. And then, you know, in the early 1900s, you start having this different approach, right? This petrochemical, actually roots of it are even in Nazi Germany,
yeah.
where a lot of these doctors came from.
Yeah, and from the IG Farben pharmaceutical.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And we sit here and we ask ourselves, like, what happened? See, most of us listening to this probably weren't alive then. I mean, you weren't, we're probably around in, you know, 1901. Right. And so you were raised into this and you almost think this is how it is, I guess, right? That all these smart people before me built this wonderful system and this is the best we have to do. And it's kind of like when you have that awakening about a lot of things, about our school system, about money, about, you know, healthcare. But we've just been so brainwashed that, you know, healthcare is good. It's like 1984, right? Like, you know, war, you know.
Every single war, day now.
Yeah. Like, you know, the ministry of truth is actually the lies. Like everything's backwards. Like healthcare is sick care, right?
Yeah.
This idea, and Rockefeller funded it, and they coerced, essentially going after practitioners of saying, you are not a real doctor. We will not, they would only fund schools that were actually providing, you know, teaching, education, yeah. and pharmaceuticals. Petrol-based, you know, chemical manipulation that can yeah. go in and manipulate your physiology. Like, listen, drugs have effects. I would never make that argument, right? Pills do things. Okay.
Yeah.
We literally said the totality of the medical model, the approach was this biochemical approach to healthcare. And I can't even say healthcare because it's not. It's almost
sick care, symptom care.
Yeah, this belief that we're smarter than the body, that we can figure it out, that we're going to manipulate it with chemicals. And then we're going to, honestly, not, I don't even think really their thought was to help you. I think their thought was to control you. Like, I mean, it, you know, it, sure, we can dress it up and make it sound nice, but
yeah.
it's not that. I mean, and look at where we sit right now, right? We're the most medicated nation in the world. We're the most medicated amount of people in the world. Our kiddos, 25% of our kids are on medications. You know, don't get me started on the mental health medications. I can't even call them mental health, you know, these antipsychotics, antidepressant type of medications because of that. And it's only getting worse and we're only getting sicker. So I think when I look at that, and then ask me a question here, Kara, but when we look at that, I say, clearly it didn't work. Like yeah. we're on more dope than ever before.
Yeah.
And it's only expected to go more. Like if you're just a logical person, you would say, well, we should be doing better. But we're doing right. worse. Four right. years in a row, life expectancy has gone down. You know, their only answer is more pills, more drugs, more vaccines, things like that.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Absolutely. Well, just a little bit of a history here for anybody who's like, what is Rockefeller medicine? What are they talking about? Well, first I want to mention, you said something about mental illness. And it's interesting because I looked into this having, you know, been misdiagnosed bipolar and looking into these different diagnoses that really came out of the 50s, which is an interesting time, the MK Ultra trauma-based mind control years, all tying to the World War II and the Nazis and Project Paperclip and all that. But in ancient cultures, when people had mental illness problems, they said it was a result of a supernatural phenomenon, including demonic possession or sorcery. And interesting that pharmaceuticals yeah. means poison pills, magic, sorcery. But it was very obvious to people a long time ago that mental illness was actually from the spirit world, probably, or could be a result of sin, but sin can allow the spirit world in. But then we have this Rockefeller medicine thing that happens that you're talking about. Well, Rockefeller in the 20th century, he controlled 90% of all the oil refineries. And he bought up this German pharmaceutical company called IG Farben after World War II. They were creating like the gases for the chambers and stuff like that. And because Rockefeller, you know, he had all these oil companies, he realized that he could create these petroleum-based pills and medicines, synthetics of things that were working in like the homeopathic industry, but rename it, repatent it as... you know, his pharmaceuticals with petroleum-based pills. But what he did was to push this type of medicine is he basically, like you were saying, he took over the holistic medicine practice and said that it was quackery. And he joined up with Andrew Carnegie, and they sent this man named Abraham Flexner to travel around the country and report on the status of what was going on with medicine in the country. And what came out was the Flexner Report. And that report concluded that there were too many doctors and medical schools in America, and that all the natural healing modalities, which existed for hundreds of years and were working, were now quackery. Based on that Flexner report, half of all medical colleges were soon closed, and doctors were jailed that practiced homeopathic medicine and natural medicine. They were mocked, demonized. And then Rockefeller launched a targeted smear campaign against his competitors. Rockefeller gave more than $100 million to colleges and hospitals if they pushed his medical regime. And he even founded, I believe, the American Cancer Association, right? And it's interesting. There's no cure for cancer. There's no cure for flus. There's no cures for colds, because he's not here to give you a cure. Because I was a big profit loss for the pharmaceutical industry. They had me for 8 years with a misdiagnosis. $500,000 my insurance company paid out, all unnecessary. But there doesn't seem to be cures for Rockefeller medicine. And I think that's by design. But that's kind of a little bit of a brief history of why we are with white coat doctors. All these doctors preach the same kind of medicine regime because Rockefeller gave this money to the universities to teach his program. He called homeopathic medicine quackery, like chiropractic, and the things that actually were working for hundreds of years. And now here we are today, where people are addicted and hooked to pills. Because I took these pills. It's serious. Like, it changed. Like you said, it's like a lobotomy, kind of like in the mind when you take these pills. It does destroy your brain. It changes your chemical makeup. I had so many different side effects from these pills, and I started getting sick from the side effects. And then I was on a new pill, and you become addicted to this program. And sometimes you're like, I don't know if I can get off these. But what it took truly for me was a miracle, was God intervening in my life. And he will, if you ask and thou shall receive. But anyway, a little bit about Rockefeller medicine.
Well,
there.
You know, and one other thing that they did, because people need to understand this is still alive and well, right? When they came to these schools, basically they said, hey, we'll give you this money, right? To help your school and to help it expand, help it grow. All we want is to have a seat on the board. All we want to do is be able to have this. And so it's still how it's controlled. One of the words you might hear nowadays is, you know, it's like agency capture, right? Like the people that work, you know, FDA, CDC, NIH, all of these things. A lot of people woke up to this during COVID. They don't realize. So here's what I want people to understand. This didn't just happen in the last few years, right? The COVID vaccine isn't the first crazy thing that happened that we've rushed through with bad science. This has been the MO of the industry for a long time. Okay. And so if you're listening to this and you're going like, really, and you know, you're realizing kind of your life, you become dependent on medications. Again, that's not even strange. Like you were talking about, it's physiology. Like if somebody puts, you know, I remember somebody saying this one time, like if I was going to eat like a steak and somebody put drugs on it, but I didn't know it, like my body's going to become addicted to that, even though I don't know it's happening. Right. You see this with things like even social media. There's a lot of things you can become addicted to in your life. Just the dopamine that can, you know, affects our brains, we become addicted to it. And so once you wake up to that, and then you realize there's, you know, powers that be that are trying to, they want you addicted, right? They want you to be that consumer. They want you to be on those drugs. Now,
it's a great marketing plan to have your clients addicted.
So, you know, but we have to, and this is what I try to explain to people, because it's easy to just get mad at them, right? Like mad at Big Pharma, mad at them. And I'm with you. Like I'll join the fight. However, realize like once, like if you've listened to this far into this podcast and you've heard, you know, you talk about this before, or you listen to our podcast, like at some point you've got to get out of the game. Like stop going to them, asking them to do something they don't do. Yeah. All right. Now, you know, find help, get people around you, right? Like I often will say that, like, if you want to be healthy, find somebody healthy and like ask them what they're doing. Like in a natural practitioners, chiropractors, acupuncturists, or like naturopaths, these kinds of doctors, holistic doctors, if you know, their approach is going to be to help get you healthy, right? So if I go to, I remember asking the medical doctor, I don't even know why I asked him this. I can't believe I did. But when he told me to take this drug, I said, I was like 19. And I said, you know, is there any side effects or anything long-term? I'm surprised I even asked him that. And he goes, but I still remember his answer. Now, mind you, this guy was about 300 pounds. Okay. That I'm asking this to.
Right.
And it's just what it was. I'm not saying that all doctors are fat. This guy was. And I go, and he looks at me and he says, oh yeah, I take one every day myself. Now, as I think about that, yeah. Right? I mean, this is like, if you were going to go to like a marriage, if your marriage was in trouble and you were going to go to a marriage counselor or something like this, you want that marriage counselor to have only one goal in mind for you. And that's total restoration, right? Like, now that doesn't mean that everybody gets it, but that's your focus, right?
Right.
So you want somebody, if you're engaging with somebody in your healthcare, like that chiropractor that you went to, you know, the medical answer for arthritis is sorry forever. You'll have to have it. Only gets worse.
Yep.
You know, bad luck, bad genes, whatever. Here's yep. your muscle relaxant. Here's your pain pills. Yep. Here's your opioids. Then you go to, you know, you go across the street metaphorically, you meet somebody else and they go, oh, like arthritis. All right, cool. Like, you know, let's see what happens here. Let's yep. start working on the things to get your body healing. And in your case, you were able to recover. And so if you're listening to this, try to take some of that energy of like, I hate pharma. I hate, and I do too. Like, it's fine. But like, take responsibility for your health. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if you get involved in holistic healthcare or natural healthcare, that's awesome. But don't just hand your health over to a chiropractor or a, you know, somebody, a naturopath.
Like, right.
You're just taking your same medical mind into that.
You know what I realized is when I, because I, you know, part of my testimony is not just the misdiagnosis of bipolar and everything I went through with the healthcare industry is the last couple of years. And then waking up is I've become a believer. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and learning about Christianity and reading the Bible, one of the first things I came into was idol worship. And I was like, idol worship? Is this just, you know, idols on like these little statues and stuff? No, it's putting something before God. And I had to realize and repent that I was idolizing big pharma and modern medicine because I took pills thinking that it was going to make me better. It was going to heal me. It was going to fix what was wrong with me. I didn't go to God first. And that was a big problem for me. And so anybody who's just like going to, like you're saying, to the medical field or whatever to fix yourself, you might be idolizing that a little bit. Put God first, pray to God, come to him, have a relationship with him, ask and thou shall receive, and then see what he opens up in your path. Because it's not like, yup, you're miraculously done. You're better, Kara.
I went
into dialectical behavioral therapy. I did a skills-based therapy to learn how to deal with my intense emotions like anger and suicide ideation and stuff like that. And it didn't, you know, I wasn't fixed instantly. I took 9 months to get off pills. I did the skills-based therapy. I got closer to God. Like, it was a whole process for me, especially after 39 years of being a non-believer and needing to be reborn and all of that. So I don't want anybody to think that you just like cold turkey, stop what you're doing and then you're better. No, God's going to bring different healing like chiropractics into your life or some kind of exercise or a different diet. You know, it's not just like a poof, you're better. It's just like redirecting you and like realigning you. Like I was mentioning what I did when I first went to the chiropractor, which I really think created the platform I needed for my body to heal, to get my body in alignment.
You know, the word, one of the chiropractic terms that you'll often hear, you probably heard it in the office, was subluxation. And that's when the spine is misaligned. And the term actually comes from sub, meaning less, and lux is light. And so it's less than who you were designed to be, less light shining. And of course, in the scriptures, Matthew 5, I think it talks about us that we're, you know, designed to shine. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Matter of fact, one of the developers of chiropractic, he said, you know, and this is a little bit, you know, it's just a great saying, but he said, you know, chiropractic adjustment connects man the physical with man the spiritual. Now, I don't want to have blasphemy on here. But the point just being, if there's something interfering with who God designed you to be, that is a problem. Now, when you talk about idol worship, Kara, I think it's such a critical point. If you look back just these last few years, there's crazy stuff going on. Like, we were worshiping vaccines. We were literally looking for that to be the savior. All right. I mean, it was even talked like in those words. You might say, oh, we don't have worship now. You're like, listen, guys, we have shows called American Idol. We've got grown men that paint their bodies and go to football games and spend half of their living to go, you know, and they're literally bowing down to a quarterback of a football team. Or you go to the OBGYN and you give them $100,000 and say, make me a baby. You know, God messed up with me. And it's like, and I'm telling you, idol worship is not only alive and well, it's worse than ever. This isn't just golden calves when Moses came down. Like, this is a big deal. And so, yeah, and I remember I have a good friend and she's a medical doctor. And when she woke up during this and she said exactly what you said here, she said, I had to repent that I had just like hook, line and sinker believed a lot of lies that I never investigated. This is a very high end, elite level doctor and very smart, but she's a believer. And so, but she was deceived. And so as you're waking up to this, and you really, there is a repentance portion of this. Okay. You go, I did have more faith in pills, potions, or lotions. I wasn't taking responsibility. I the body's a temple of the Holy Spirit, right? That we are called to steward this thing. Now, listen, this isn't about legalism. This isn't about works-based faith. This isn't how it works. And sometimes instantaneous miracles do happen. I've seen them in my life. I see them happen. I've seen people be broke free from addiction. I've seen people, and I'm not saying this, I'm not doctoring over the airwaves. I've seen people get a word from the Lord to throw their pills away and they never had withdrawal. Okay. Praise God. Right?
Yeah. Amen.
It's
a miracle that we're here breathing right now and our hearts are beating. And like you said earlier, our bodies sing at this temperature. That's miraculous right there. Miracles are an absolute real thing. Yeah. And they do happen. Yeah.
I say that all the time too. I'm like, they're like, I don't know. They like, you know, I don't know. Like even like cessationists, they're like, well, does God still heal? I'm like, does he still heal? Like, I'm not telling you to do this. Like, but go home and like, or next time, don't cut yourself. But next time you cut yourself, like, you know, just watch that heal. Don't do it on purpose. But next time you
What are we doing to make that? We're nothing. God's doing that. Yeah, no. And I literally like say like, look at my arm. I'm moving my arms right now. It's miraculous. And like, just think about my heart beating all the time and my breathing and how am I thinking? It's just, it's absolutely amazing. And like, poor God, like we're sitting here. We should be thanking him every single moment for everything. It's like, everybody's just like forgotten, like how miraculous just being alive is and having life.
I laugh sometimes because people are and people are like, because I think it really matters. If you can have that perspective, it like literally raises your physiology. Like it's actually good for you. Like if your perspective is the opposite of what you just described, which is, you know, oh, what's wrong with me? Or, oh my gosh, something wrong with my heart or this. And that fear is that after that fear, that's the, you know, the enemy. He's the author of fear. And when that comes into your life, your mind outside of the fear of God, that is, you're in trouble. And then modern medicine, you know, pharma comes in with this perceived illusionary solution, right?
Like oh, the it's snake just like, in the garden.
I was just going to say like, oh, just, if you just have this, you'll be better.
Yeah. And you can heal yourself. No, you can't. I tried for 39 years and work.
It's so crazy. Now listen, we're all going to die. It says he knows that our days, right? Yeah. He knows, but he also knows the hairs on our head. It says he created us in your likeness image. Our bodies are divinely designed to heal. Jeremiah 29:11. Like there's a lot going on here, right? Like, listen, this might be I might be out of here in 30 minutes. I don't know when he's taking me home, you know? I don't live my life in fear of that. All right. I know where I'm going and he knows my days. And so we're just going to go after this thing, right? But because people die of a lot of things. I could get run over by a car. Yeah. Not everybody does heart disease or cancer or COVID. So when I look at this, I'm just like, that's not how I'm operating my life. I desire to operate from a place outside of fear, right? But so many people even listen to this, and this is sometimes what happens. It's like, they didn't even realize they were in fear, right? They didn't even realize. I saw a statistic the other day, like 22% of Americans or something like that, or 22 million Americans take a sleeping pill every single day.
Oh, wow.
And I know, I was like, I'm still shocked by certain statistics sometimes and when it's actually worse than I thought. And so you're right. It's a good point.
Yeah. Wow. I was just talking to you before this and you're like, how are you doing? Cause I've been going through a really hard time. And I said, you know, I'm starting to do better. And I'm really like focusing on scripture, actually just like simple, like meditating on like a piece of scripture. And it's been so powerful. And like, there was one that I was talking about how, cause a friend of mine's like, God says we should rejoice in everything, Kara, find joy in everything. I'm like, what? Finding joy in everything. Because I believe it's one in the Psalms that says like, a joyful heart will heal you, but like an unjoyful heart will actually dry out your bones. And you think about like how we're approaching just looking at our lives, and it's like when we're worried about everything or fearful of everything, it's like that's going to dry up your bones. That's not going to be well. But if you can rejoice in everything, like that simple thing right there, it's just going to bring you like almost a different feeling in your body. But with the pills and the Rockefeller medicine, it's there's no joy in any of that. You actually like, you feel worse as you're doing this and you find yourself much sicker down the road. And it's interesting too, when you think about, you know, the vaccines and stuff and how that was pushed in here. And, you know, I just look at what's going on in the world right now and it feels so many people are sick. Like there's a lot of heart issues going on, a lot of weird things, and people aren't bringing the dots together. It's like, how can they not see what's going on? It's like, what do you really think? Do you think this is just like a kind of like a mind programming, or like, how do you think people got so far away from the truth on all of this?
You know, I asked myself a lot, this question, right? There's a great book written by Matthias Desmet. If you're listening to this and you're wanting to read, he is from in Europe, I think. I can't remember exactly where he's from, but he studied this and he talks about something called mass psychosis or mass formation.
Right.
And so some of this really was, to some degree, Kara, like a hypnotizing. Okay.
Yeah.
That
mass
was done
formation
through
psychosis. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, people fight about the word a little bit, you know, is it a psychosis? It's a mental, I don't care what you call it, frankly, it just means propaganda in a lot of people for a long time and they all buy into it. And you get this kind of groupthink going on. But from a scriptural perspective, I look at this and I think about a lot of things, but one of them I think about like Paul, right? From Saul to Paul. Mm-hmm. And Paul had it, you know, it says the scales fell off of his eyes. He had an encounter. So I've seen it happen where, I mean, your story was somewhat like that. Even when you just said, you know, early on in COVID, you were like the rubber glove, double masker.
Oh, get away from me. I was looking, you talk about vaccine worship. I literally remember saying to my boyfriend in like in winter 2020, I'm going to get on the black market and I'm going to get a vaccine before they're even available to everybody else. I was like, I don't care what it costs. I was even be available that way, but yeah. I was seriously like, but then I went from that to, you don't come near me with a 10-foot pole or 100-foot pole with that vaccine. No way. Yeah. Like,
well, so like, I feel like we're in a place where you almost have to have that moment, right? You almost have to have this, like from the moment when you get saved, it's like, you can usually identify that moment, like something happens.
Yeah.
And so in my experience on this has been truly where people wake up. I mean, I have lots of friends and family. I've lost relationships over this. My stepdad hasn't seen us, won't see us because we're not vaccinated. He won't see my grandkids, you know, and it makes me cry, you know? Right. And so, but at the same time, you know, my prayer for him or his family or those that are, I mean, with patients all the time, that they would get that. But I look in the scripture. So I think about Paul to Saul when he had this dramatic encounter, and it's like, it says the scales fell off of his eyes. Or I think about also in the scriptures, there's a lot of, you know, heroes of the faith that never got to see certain things. If you look at the disciples, you know, I mean, most of them died a martyr death. Okay. I mean, they were murdered for their beliefs. If you look when John the Baptist, you know, he's in jail,
right?
And he's like, and he's like, you know, basically, you know, says, hey, is Jesus, you know, who he says he was? And that's when he says, you know, go tell John that, you know, the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, the mute speak, and the gospel is being preached. Right. And of course, John the Baptist, I mean, he got beheaded. I mean, it didn't end well on this earth. Right.
Right.
There's, and so, or Paul, the same thing. I mean, Paul was murdered. So we have to be careful, but his promises are not that we wouldn't go through trials. It says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will never leave you or forsake you. So the hope, the inspiration, the joy, Paul says, count it all joy. I mean, Paul's in prison. Paul's I've been over to where in Europe where he was in prison in Rome. I mean, he says that he was in his own fecal matter. He was locked up and chained. Yet they're singing praises to the Lord, right? And it's this joy. If our circumstances of our life is, if our life is only as good as a circumstance of, or if our God is only as good as my checkbook or my physical health today, or how happy I am, if that's only, then we're screwed, Kara, right? Because we have bad days, right? We go through things. I mean, and if you don't believe that, like, go read the scriptures. That's why I get pretty upset about the prosperity gospel sometimes, because listen, you know, it misleads so many people. They have a bad day and they think, oh, well, I guess Jesus doesn't love me. I guess this isn't real. I guess. And then that's why you have to be in the word. You need to read the scriptures for yourself, not out of like some sort of legalistic, you know, Bible beating thing, because they're alive and it does something to your heart. It's something happens in there. So, but it's hard to explain the joy until you've experienced the joy.
Yep.
Okay. And so I would just say, and it even says this in the scriptures in a sense, test it. Right? Like if you're listening to this and it's like, man, I'm getting tired of Dr. Ben and Kara talking about Jesus all the time. Right. Well, you probably already didn't, you know, you probably already stopped listening. Don't let your faith be some bumper sticker statements. Don't let it be a couple of verses that you saw. Like, get in the word and it's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Listen to some good preaching. I mean, whatever it is, to start educating yourself, because you, like you said, you had 39 years. Jesus saved me when I was 13. But I didn't have quite as many, but I had seasons where I walked away, right?
Yeah.
And things like that. And so you need to, the things you can't even believe that you'll fall in love with, or the things that you'll lose the taste for, are really only things you experience when you, you know, kind of jump in the deep end with Jesus, if you will. So because until you've had that encounter, it doesn't make sense, I guess. Right?
No, totally. I mean, I get it. And that's why if any people are listening now and you're like, oh, they're talking about Jesus and the Bible and all that. Well, people know me that I was a denier and I blasphemized Christians essentially and like called the Bible myths and Jesus really truly believed Jesus wasn't even a real person. Like it's crazy now because now I'm like, no, that's God. That was God in the flesh. He saved my life. That's the only way. That's the door. This is my faith. This is what my whole life is based upon now. Like this is a real conversion. And so, but the thing is you have to have that experience. Like you said, you knew when you were 13, you were saved. You knew that moment. Yeah. We've talked about like Paul dropping the scales from his eyes. Like, you know, when you have that moment, and I had that moment, and God will continue. Like people say, well, why do bad things happen? Well, I just went through a really hard couple months as a new believer. What did it do? God's going to allow everything to happen and he's going to use it for his glory. Just like he used, let 2020 happen. All of us went through the lockdown. People got sick. People died. Now the vaccine stuff. We're still, why is this all happening? God's going to, we have free will here, and this is a fallen world. This is quote unquote Satan's kingdom, right? So bad things are happening here, but God's allowing it because we have free will, but he's going to let that stuff happen and use it for his glory. And that's why James 1:3, count it all as joy. We're going to look at our trials and our tribulations and we're going to count it as joy. That's us all rejoicing in everything and finding the joy in that. So I'm looking at the tough time I just went through and I could get mad at God. Why did you let my dog die? Why did you let this happen? Why did you let this? I'm so mad. No, God got me through it. And after going through it, I actually see how much my faith is stronger and I need God more because I went to him when I had anxiety, when I had major depression, things I would have done, gone to my idol worship of pills, taking a Klonopin to take care of that, or gone and run off to my counselor, help me, I'm suicidal. Instead, I went to God. I prayed to God. And it's almost like a boot camp for a new believer, just praying and going back to God. But you come through it and you're refined through the fire and he will burn off during that time anything that wasn't for you, and you come out lighter. And it keeps coming back to that alignment where your head is lighter, it's upright, and you're working exactly how God designed you. And yeah, it's going through that trial and that tribulation that strengthens your faith and brings you closer. And I do think that the last 3 years was a giant trial for everybody, a giant tribulation, but here we are now standing straighter than we were before.
You know, that's, you said it far better than I said it. I think you think you need to be a chiropractor in your next career. But it reminds me, I can't remember the exact scripture, but he says, it says that the things that the enemy tried to use to drive us away actually run the risk of increasing my faith. And so that's what you just described, right? Where these things that can kind of separate us or right? I mean, and this is one of the things I have a lot of, you know, dear brothers and sisters in Christ and pastors that have been pastors for, you know, 30, 40 years. And I love hearing from them because they have a perspective that, you know, you can see they've had the great, you know, longtime Christian who's, you know, daughter gets killed in a drunk driving car accident, right? And you go, what is that, right? You know, but they've seen enough of life that they've seen what you just described, that all these things are used to his glory, right? Yeah. Where you've seen these horrible traumas, unspeakable things, real things, okay? Yeah. But we can't let, I want to make sure I say this the right way. That's not God, okay? Like that's not what's happening here. Okay. And so if you're listening and if it sounds like too good to be true, or even when we talk about natural healing, right? The body's designed to heal. And somebody's like, well, if it's designed to heal, how come my Uncle Bob died, right? How come this? Like some of those things, guys. But I would ask you and I would challenge you, don't let that be the reason. So like you either get to decide, are you going to just run to man or are you going to run to God? Right. So it's like, I'd rather run to God.
Yeah. Me
right.
Too.
Like I got more faith in God than I do in man. I mean, if we just looked at the pharma companies as an example. So to your point, if you're going to put faith in that, so that's the most fined companies in the history of the world. They've been sued for the most fraud. They've been like, this is just the truth. So you're saying to me, you know what? I've been thinking about it. I'm going to put my trust in there. That'd be like having like the person in your life that's lied to you 100 times, you know, steals your dog, breaks your windows, you know, steals your money, all that kind of stuff. At some point you probably say, you know what, Bob, like we're not hanging out anymore. Right. Somebody sent me a sticker the other day and it said, break up with Big Pharma.
Just thinking that in my head. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Like you got to break up with Big Pharma, right? Like, so like we talked about earlier, yes, it's a little, it might be a little scary because not because it's scary, but because of what you've been programmed to think about it. Yep. Right. Yep. I got a 15-year-old daughter and a 13-year-old son. Like, I assure you, they've never had a pill in their body. Like, if you were to say like, hey, take this drug, they would be like, are you trying to kill me? Like, you know, that would be like, what, do you not like me? Yeah. Are you mad at me? Is this it? You know what I mean? And so I say that because, you know, you need to step back for a second and realize the idols that you've let into your life. Now, we've let them in for different reasons. Sometimes we've let them in because, you know, we didn't know what else to do. We right. trusted somebody that, you know, like, there's a lot of
reasons. I mean, I did it for 39 years. Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah. I did, you know, absolutely. Yeah.
And but that doesn't mean we have to keep being idiots, right? Like, that doesn't mean we just like, oh, well, I did it for 10 years or 20 years or 30 years.
Yeah.
And the body is designed to heal, meaning it regenerates, right? There's some great research out there. MIT came out with a study maybe last year. You can cut 75% of the liver off. It will regrow within 6 months. The inside lining of your stomach is new every 4 days. Your body's constantly rebuilding, repairing. You have
every
neuroplasticity
7 years,
of the
right?
brain.
Yeah. All your cells are brand new.
Different. And so when you look at that, you go, that's freaking amazing, right? And so that's where I choose to put my faith. That's where I choose to put my trust. And so when you do that, it's like the whole world opens up to you because you're not afraid when you're at the grocery store of the grocery cart and somebody sneezes on it. You're not walking around with 400, you know, wipes all the time. You're not afraid of germs. You're not afraid anymore.
Walking by yourself on the down the street with a mask on.
Oh my gosh. I was out walking around this morning in my neighborhood and there was a lady. It was early. It was kind of still dusk. And this lady was like walking by me and I kind of saw her. And as I got closer, I was like, what is she? And we were on the same side of the street. This is like 5:30 this morning or whatever. And I'm walking and there's a woman and she's got a mask on.
Yeah.
And then she like got off the, like I wasn't
she
moving.
She moved out of your way.
And she like went out in the street and I wasn't trying to be a jerk, but I'm also not going to participate in a lie.
Yeah.
Like,
don't
I am not. Yeah, yeah, I am exactly. I'm not going to, I don't mince words. Like some people, we listen and say, man, this guy's kind of a jerk. Like, listen, like I've seen about 15,000 patients in my life. I've seen this crap, right? And I've seen what it does to people. Yeah. And so I'm happy to come on here and be a strong cup of coffee for an hour, right? And just to have somebody go like, you know what? I never thought about that, right? Or if you are a believer, you know what? I never actually thought about this, that maybe I am having more faith in that. Maybe I need to change some areas of my lifestyle. There's research that says about 90 to 95% of disease of lifestyle, cancers, heart disease, these things. Like you said earlier, Kara, our free will. You get to decide what you eat today for lunch. You get to decide if you put that pill in your mouth. You get to decide what time you go to bed. You get to decide if you're going to deal with some stress in your life or break up with your boyfriend or get a new job or go back to school or I don't know, get on your knees and pray. Like, but don't give your agency over to somebody else that doesn't care about you. Don't, if you surrender yourself to God, the one that made you, the creator of you, right? That would be the guy to talk to. That would be the one to talk about. People say, I don't know my purpose. Talk to the guy that made yours.
Yeah.
Talk to the one that knows you more than you know you, knows you before you were even created.
Yeah.
And that should give you hope, like you were talking about.
Yes. And like the story that you told us at the beginning, that amazing story about the girl who you told her, oh my gosh, these things that I'm seeing in you, this is something I see with people with anxiety and depression. And that gave her hope. God was using you as a vessel to help her. And that's how it works. When you allow God into your life, you're going to see your life around you. God's going to use that to get to you and to help you. Maybe you're listening to this episode right now because you want to get off your pills or you want to try something different. Well, here you are. God brought us all together for a time like this. And Ben, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and talking to us. This has been a really amazing conversation, such a powerful conversation. It's truly God that's brought us together. And for anybody that wants to find Ben, he has a podcast called Designed to Heal. It's on all major platforms. Check out our episode together. I was on there talking about my 30,000 pills I never needed. He's on Instagram, Achieve Wellness Clinic. That's the clinic that he has in Central Florida. If you're in the area, book an appointment with him. Achieve Wellness Clinic .clinic is his website. And Dr. Ben, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you, Kara. Last thing to your listeners, if this is a new journey to you, I will tell you, because I've been in the faith for a long time, even within the church, even within the body of believers, this message of healing, this concept is not often well understood, all right? So I share this with you because you may go like, wow, this is amazing. And you might go, hey, I'm going to head to church, or I'm going to go talk to my pastor, or I'm going to go talk to somebody else. And they may say things like, oh, that's crazy, or God gave us those pills because he loves us so much, or whatever, right? And here's what I would tell you. It says, test it against the word. Okay, so don't go for just another man's opinion. Don't listen to just my opinion. Don't listen to just your opinion. But also don't just listen to that other guy. Take it and test it against the word. And I promise you, as you read those scriptures, you will meet the great physician. You will meet Jehovah Rapha. You will know who made you, how much he loves you, right? And the plans and purposes that he has for you. This is between you and God, nobody else. That's how this whole thing works out. All right. So I just want to make sure and said that for you.
Amen.
But I'm honored to be on your show, Kara.
Thank you so much.
And I can't wait to. Yes, you're welcome.
Yeah, I'd love to have you back too. I could talk. There's so much we could talk about. Everybody, check out Ben's podcast, Designed to Heal. He's talking about all sorts of things right now with people about how what's going on with the vaccine and the miscounts on everything. He's talking about healing frequencies, treating your teeth like organs. Do you think colds and flus and allergies are man-made? How to detox from parasites? It's a wealth of information. Thank you so much, Dr. Ben. It's been a pleasure, and I thank you for being a friend, and I can't wait to chat with you again.
Awesome. Thanks. God bless.
God bless.